all hit 97.1 KEGL Fort Worth, Dallas. Those are the Beastie Boys in Fight for Your Right to Party.
Where are you from?
Originally?
Yeah.
South Carolina. Why?
You left your taste in music there.
I know. No, really. I know. No. Rich Brian is standing by, ready to do the talk show. And I know, Rich, you're sitting there saying, he did that on purpose to tick me off again.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't, really. There was a reason I played that song. And that is because Beastie Boys have split up. Thank
Wonderful.
You.
Okay. Right.
What you got on the show?
We have perhaps the most... I hesitate to say this because one never knows for sure, but I would say one of the most entertaining slash controversial shows, and tonight is only part one, so stand by. My guest tonight, the number to call is 654-3555. My guest is Ole Anthony, and he will be joining us in just a minute. Let me give you a little rundown on what this man has done. He was a radio talk show host, fired by Jimmy Swaggart, which says a lot for him right there. TV talk show host, news director, anchorman on a television station, a television movie producer, John Towers' regional campaign manager. He owned his own offshore oil exploration company. He sold 500,000 copies of his first book. He was taken hostage in Beirut. He's writing another book based on that experience, and he is now president of the Trinity Foundation, a public nonprofit communications foundation. You know, you get blown out of one radio job and you do anything to make ends meet. You know, that's how it goes. He will be joining us in just a minute, and it's almost like you can pick a headline out of the paper, whether it's the Swaggart deal and Jim Baker. And Reverend Falwell or Earl Roberts and Pat Robertson, he knows these guys and will be more than happy to talk about them tonight. And the hostage situation in Lebanon and around the world, he was one. Luckily, only for basically a day because he was rescued, but he was one. He knows what the situation is there. So we can talk about that and various other things, which you'll find out as the show goes along. Number is 654-3555. And Michael?
Yeah?
Give me one more song that is just a little bit calmer.
Okay, check this one out. How about this?
This will do.
This is the Cutting Crew.
This will do.
I just died in your arms tonight.
We'll be back after this on the Eagle.
Rich Brian. Nope. Hit 97.1 KEGL. Now back to Rich in the Ark. Rich Brian in the talk show.
Thank you very much. It's 11:17. This is the talk show on the Eagle. And my guest tonight is Ole Anthony. Welcome, sir.
Thank you, Rich.
Mr. Anthony, as I described to you earlier, has done a little bit of everything. And if you were to pick up a headline from almost any paper in the last few days, he is... one of the few that is knowledgeable enough to comment on just about anything you happen to see. Your thoughts on the whole Iran-Contra affair right now? I mean, was Reagan actually trading weapons for hostages in your mind?
No, because what... It's not... You have to understand, Rich, that the... that these people that are holding U.S. hostages are not under the direct control of Iran. Or Iran, or however you want to pronounce it, Iran may have some influence. And so I think in Reagan's mind, there was a possibility that by developing a relationship with Iran, that it could lead to some hostage easing of tensions.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think in their mind it was a one-to-one relationship the way it's being made out in the press. I'm sure it wasn't.
What do you think about the entire plan itself?
Well, it was...
it's easy with hindsight now to say...
Well, you don't deal with... you don't deal with crooks to try to, get to a bank president. I mean, it's like their dealings with the arms traders and the characters of the Middle East... And believing that they had some influence in a moderate group within Iran is very naive, and I think that's the biggest problem with that whole Iran gate, is that there was naivete.
Who do you deal with? Who do you find out how to talk to come up with somebody to deal with?
Again, we're dealing not with governments, Rich. We're dealing with tribes. There's not a sense of government with the real people there. They still think of themselves in tribal or family cultures. And with something now in America, we've lost even the sense of a single family. But there, a family may be 9,000 people. And that 9,000 strong family is armed. And so when we say we're dealing with Lebanon, what the hell does that mean? It doesn't mean anything.
Right.
We're dealing with a whole system of families and tribes that have a history that's, you know, 100 times longer than the U.S. history. We try to place our value systems on them. It doesn't work.
All right. I want to come back to the Middle East, but I also, while we're talking about religion and form here, talk about your history with Jimmy Swaggart and Pat Robertson.
We're going to talk about, instead of Iran Gate, we're going to talk about Pearly Gate.
Yes. First of all, explain how you got involved with Pat Robertson. You met passing ships in the night.
I was a guest on his talk show on the 700 Club. I wrote a book. I'm the author of a bad book called Crossfire.
500,000 copies.
Well, I don't know. That was mostly in Spanish-speaking countries. Ah. It has a more professional-sounding title. It's Entre Dos Fuegos in Spanish. Ah. So that sounds exciting. Crossfires, yeah. But I was a guest on this program, and I was talking about the vital need for honesty and the stopping of this hypocrisy that goes under the name of religion. And I said, we have to return to the honesty of the church fathers, like St. Augustine, who, after he was a believer for 12 years, he said, Lord, make me chaste, but not just yet. And then I said, and as for me, God's either got to find me a wife or make fornication not a sin. Well, Pat and Ben and all the group, they almost fell out of their chairs when I said that. And I'm banned from CBN from now on, but... I got 147 proposals of marriage. Women sent me pictures of their dogs, their financial statements. It was interesting.
All right. And from that point, you went on to work with Jimmy Swaggart?
Well, I didn't know I was working
for Jimmy Swaggart.
No, I didn't know I was working for Jimmy Swaggart. There was a station here in Dallas that... it was then in Arlington, and... the general manager heard me on a talk show much like this, mm-hmm. and he came and offered me a job to do a public service kind of talk show.
Mm-hmm.
And I sort of knew but never really thought about it that Jimmy Swaggart owned the station. But the funny part was is that our program was on from 10:30 to 1 at night, and it was called Crossfire also. And I followed him, and he'd come on and, you know, for gift offer number 333, send me $20 or $50 or whatever it was. And so I'd come on and say sometimes, you know, send me $43,000 and I'll give you gift offer number 3. Or, you know, I'm not, or I'd mock him.
Yes.
But the station, the program was very successful, and unfortunately,
Your future was somewhat limited, though.
Yeah. Yeah. They were more interested in keeping their financial supporters happy than they were gaining an audience, which is another...
But you had an outstanding success.
Well, we had an 8.6 share on a station that their highest-rated program during the day, other than that program, was a 0.6. Their average overall rating was 0.1.
Mm.
So...
Bit of envy there, perhaps?
Not on Swagger's part. He wasn't really that directly connected. He was just... He was confronted by the fact that there was about... 5 or 6
contributors
and churches who said, unless you get that SOB off the air, we're going to stop contributing you. So they got me off the air.
Uh-huh. All right. Your thoughts, sir, and we will open up the lines in a minute, I promise. 654-3555 is the number, but on the Oral Roberts fiasco and on Jim and Tammy.
There's something almost prophetic that happened. I was also a guest on the Jim and Tammy Baker show. They flew me up there first class, put me up in a first class hotel.
Jim was over... offered to provide you with room service in any way.
Don't. That's a okay. That's a cheap shot.
I'm sorry.
That's a real cheap shot.
All right.
True, but cheap shot. And so anyway, and then I came. They taped the shows. They weren't live. And you know, it's a very elaborate thing. It looks like something out of a movie set. Their whole empire there. And so I'm sitting there, waiting to go on the air, waiting for the cameras to say start. And he hadn't read the book, this book called, and so he said, well, tell me about it in a quick nutshell. And I said, well, I really don't like the book, but the ending, the epilogue is kind of neat. And so I read the epilogue, and he got this sick look on his face, excused himself, went and talked to his director, and canceled the show, and sent me back to Dallas. And I'm also banned from Jim and Patty Baker's show. But if you like, I can read you the epilogue. It's kind of interesting.
Great. Go right ahead.
Just a minute.
Number is 654-3555. And we will be taking your calls in just a minute. This is part one. Ole Anthony will be here next week, too. There's much to talk about with this gentleman.
You have to understand now that this was probably about the time of his, what should we call them? Playing around.
Yeah, yes.
And he was preaching this gospel of success and money, and God wants you to be rich. And I once asked, I asked his director, if this gospel is true, how come there aren't any 457 millionaires in your 457-year-old millionaires in your church? And he didn't think that was very funny. But here's the epilogue. This is what I read to Baker, and this is what the basis of canceling the program is. Now, remember, his guilt is probably eating his lunch while he's reading this.
Mm-hmm.
But he's got a persona, the hairspray persona, right, that he has to project. We pray for patience, and God sends tribulation. We pray for submission, and God sends suffering. We pray for unselfishness, and God asks that we sacrifice ourselves. We pray for victory, and God allows us to be tempted. We pray for humility, and God allows messengers of Satan to buffet us. We pray for strength, and God reveals our secret fears and innermost weakness. We pray for union with Christ, and God severs all natural ties, and we walk alone, and our friends misunderstand. We pray for love, and God sends us peculiar suffering by sending us unlovely people. We pray for likeness to Jesus, and God puts us in the furnace of affliction. Much that perplexes us is but an answer to our prayer. At that point, he canceled.
Mm. Okay. Oral Roberts.
Well, I've interviewed Oral two or three times. And I'm. Have you ever heard of Chinese baseball? It's a true story.
Go ahead.
In the 30s, one of the missionaries was going to bring Western culture to China. And so he brought the uniforms and the balls and the bats and the gloves, and he brought everything over to China and a rule book. And he was teaching the Chinese peasants how to play baseball so he could give them something about God. And but the problem was the missionary died before they finished translating the rule book. And so the Chinese were playing this great game, and they got everything exactly right. They had their uniforms on just right. You know, the hats were square, the pitchers were pitching, the batters were hitting. The only problem was they had one little rule that wasn't quite right, and that was that as soon as the batter hit the ball, the first baseman had the right or the obligation to pick up first base and run anywhere he wanted to on the field. Well, in my opinion, that's what modern religion is, Chinese baseball. It has nothing to do with God. I mean, all these guys are sincere, but you probably don't want to hear my definition of sincerity, but they're wrong. And you can ask me, what right do I have to say I'm wrong? That they're wrong? Well, because I've seen it. I've been there. God asks that we sacrifice ourselves, not try to do all the stuff they're doing. I mean, you know, talk about taking the name of the Lord in vain. That doesn't mean don't say God damn.
Mm-hmm.
It means don't bring any glory to your flesh in the name of God. You know, can you imagine, literally, I was kidding you before, but can you imagine starting the Rich Brian Evangelistic Association? That's like, you know, let's start the Saul of Tarsus Evangelistic Association or Simon Peter's Bible University. Mm-hmm. Well, that's obscene. And they say, well, we're just uplifting Jesus. Mm-hmm. No, they're not. They're uplifting themselves and their organizations. And they've just become a...
And their estate in La Jolla.
Yeah, and they've just become another instrument of, you know, where the confused youth can go to the spiritual supermarket and pick a little here and a little there. It's sick.
Are they breaking the law?
Yeah, in at least two ways, at least in Dallas.
And those are?
Well, first of all, all of them are breaking the law in terms of the IRS. If you have a record album and it has a value of $9 or $10, say, and I send you a contribution and you give me that record album for $10, then I cannot give you a tax receipt by which you get a tax deduction for that trade, the right. Dollars to record album. Every one of them are doing that, and the IRS doesn't have enough guts to take them on. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And in Dallas... And I don't know about Fort Worth, but in Dallas, there's a law under the commercial code that says that if anyone raises money from more than 50 people in Dallas, that they have to apply for a solicitation permit. Not one of them has. But again, you know, there's this huge amorphous mass that we call modern religion. And it's become a government. It's Babylon.
Did it seem somewhat hypocritical to you for Oral Roberts to take over $1 million from a man that runs a dog track in Florida?
No, that's a non-issue. It seems hypocritical for me to say, you know what? You know how the first century church identified a false apostle?
No.
If they asked for money.
That's right, and they were thrown out of the temple.
Or wherever.
Church.
Or, wherever. Yeah. If they ever asked for money, they were thrown out as false prophets, false teachers, and shunned by the true believers.
Somewhere along the way, that translation or that bit of history went out.
Oh, it's idiotic. Yeah. I mean, I don't get me started in this, or I'll... oh.
Now, I want to get you started. The angrier you get about this, I think the more we're going to accomplish with this.
All right.
Number is 654-3555. We will start taking calls right now. You're listening to the Eagle KGL Fort Worth, Dallas. My guest is Ole Anthony. Tonight is part one, and we are talking about religion in the Middle East and here at home with the likes of Jimmy Swaggart and Pat Robertson. Pat Robertson ever going to be president of the United States?
You know, we face a danger here, and that is when people believe and they start mixing politics with their government, then people will get all excited and go out and kill commies for Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Religion with their government.
Yeah, and that we'll have the same thing as we have in Iran, the Ayatollah Khomeini.
All right. You're on the Eagle. Thanks for holding. Ole, you'll need to put those on so you can hear these questions. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, he didn't mention my two favorite preachers.
All right.
Ernest Angley and Gene Scott. What do you think about those two?
Like, I didn't hear it. Would you repeat?
Dr. Gene Scott, what are your thoughts on him?
What did I say about asking for money?
Right.
Yeah.
If anybody asks for money, shun him.
Well, he says that he asked for money based on how well he taught. If he didn't learn from his teaching, he doesn't want you to send money. Is that a difference?
That's a great gimmick.
Sure is.
If I've taught you tonight, send me your cards and letters, folks, and your donations. I'd love them.
Do you know who Ernest Angley is? Do you know who Ernest Angley is?
Yes.
He's not in here in Dallas, is he?
Well, he used to be. He used to have several programs here on KSKY and a couple of the other religious stations. I think he's...
Was arrested for having something behind his ear?
No, that was W.V. Grant, but he wasn't arrested. It was the guy that was having the word of prophecy.
Peter Popoff or something.
Yeah, well, that's another one. There's two of them that have had that experience. They were exposed in documentaries. They were going to their people and saying, "We have never met, have we?" And they say, "No, we haven't met." And they're shaking. And he says, "Well, your name is Gene. And does the name Dr. Milos have any meaning?" And what he was doing is the guy had been interviewed, and his wife was in the other room giving him the signals by the radio, by a secret radio transmitter. That's sick.
You want to hear something more sick? Well, I work for, I won't have to mention the place, but it's a telemarketing place here in the Dallas Metroplex. And we took donations for Jimmy Swaggart. Now, when we took donations for Jimmy Swaggart, we had a script to read. And on the script, you know, they would call in, and, you know, he offers that free cross and dove pin. You know, remember that? You've seen him on the show?
Right.
All you do is call the 800 number. We were the 800 number. So anyway, people would call us, and naturally they'd say, I want the free cross and dove pin. And then we say, sure, and we'd get their name and address. And then we're supposed to say to them, well, Brother Jimmy would love, and we have to say Brother Jimmy, by the way, Brother Jimmy would love for receive a $20 donation from you. And if you send a $20 donation, he will send you his most recent album, Sweet Anointing. Okay, and then they usually say, yeah, I'll give $20, or no, they can't. So then if they say no, we're supposed to say, well, could you at least make a $10 donation to Brother Jimmy?
Oh, bye.
And then if they say no, listen to this. In about 1 week in the mail, they'll get a little card in the mail that says, we want to make sure that the operator took your address and name spelling correctly and everything. And by the way, while we're doing this, could you possibly send a $10 donation?
Well, I hope you don't work there anymore, because if you do, you'll be tainted by that. That is absolute sickness.
Well, here's what happened. See, he dropped us as a client.
Good.
You know why? He called up disguising himself as, you know, a regular person. And whoever answered the, you know, when he called up the telemarketer to answer the phone, did not say, you know, Brother Jimmy would love to receive a $20 donation, and he'll send you his album, Sweet Anointing. They didn't say that. And so, you know, he didn't get any money from us, so he said, hey, if they're not going to read the script, I'll just go somewhere else. And so he dropped us as a client.
Well, it was the best thing that ever happened to you.
Yeah, right. Well, one more thing I found out, too. You know Channel 49?
Yep.
Okay, Channel 49 had PTL running on their station.
Right.
Okay? As of now, right now, PTL owes Channel 49 $185,000. That they never paid for the airtime.
Well, that's a whole other issue, is how that these television evangelists and radio and television maintain themselves. If they, you know, if you look at the demographics of their listening audience, it's mostly women, 49 to 64.
Isn't it black women mostly?
Well, no, it's not mostly black, but it's we did a 7-year survey of with Arbitron. Of who listens and how many were listening to the religious radio and television shows. And the demographics of that listening audience are primarily widowed women, 49 to 64, and they're giving everything they got, and it's making me sick.
May not make their light bill, but they'll support Jimmy Swaggart.
Oh, yeah, we had a case of not Zondervan, but Logos Publishing, and a man named... I won't give his name, but he started a publishing company, and he encouraged and demanded in many instances widow women to deed their house over to him and for the right of a perpetual annuity, where they get a lifetime guarantee for how much money they'd have for the rest of their life if he deeded their house. And then he used those deeds as assets in his financial statement. He went bankrupt. Hundreds and hundreds of women who were just looking for an answer to life are now on the streets.
Lost their homes.
And that's typical, Rich.
That's what they do. But have you listened to that guy on the radio named Bob Larson before? You know who he is?
Well, you know, I mean, Casper Milk Toasts are everywhere.
All right, caller, I've got to move along, okay?
I'd like to ask Mr. Anthony... about how he would feel about Jerry Falwell taking over PTL.
Well, you know, that's like, you know, they're two guys out of the same pocket. I mean, it doesn't matter. It's a non-event.
Well, I said
the issue is not who's heading what. The issue is how they are making their money and the politics of it and the deception that's going on in the name of God. And that's what is infuriating me.
Well, I figure, I mean, it wouldn't work with Jerry Falwell and his...
Of course not, because Falwell is a fundamentalist.
Yeah.
Baker and his people are charismatic or Pentecostal. That marriage is made in hell.
Well, but if they clash, you know, would it fall apart? Well, what would the outcome be?
he'd fall apart. He'd disappear, just like a lot of them. The problem with these organizations is they have one charismatic guy that, and they're private organizations. That means the board of directors perpetuates itself. And they get the tax benefits and all the other things as private organizations, and they're preaching a false gospel, and it's deceiving people and causing a whole generation of Americans, young people, like the people from the demographics that listen to this station, to dismiss God as a viable possibility because of the idiocy they see in the name of God. And I don't blame them. If that was all I knew about God, I'd have dismissed him 100 years ago.
Okay, appreciate it, Mr. Anthony.
Thank you. You're on the Eagle.
Hi. My question is directed to your guest. I know that if I'm held hostage, I would want somebody to do something about my situation. And I'd just like to know what was going through your mind when you were held hostage. That did you know if anyone was trying to help you, or were you given any kind of information as to the news of the outside world? And also, that I know that if I am held hostage, that I would want the president to do something, like with this Iran-Contra affair. Whether or not it was right or wrong, I really don't know.
All right, let me get an answer for you.
Okay. Well, the thing that goes on when you're faced with your own mortality is not really an interest in governments or politics or anything else. It's mostly a phenomena where you sit there and try to talk to yourself and try to make deals with God and try to make, you know, conceive and scheme and try to do stuff to try to get free. And I was faced with a situation where I finally stopped doing that. I just said, Father, I accept my death. And then a miracle took place. And you know, and I can go into that later if you want me to, your mind doesn't dwell on, that's why all of these statements that the hostages come out with that are taped and videotaped are they're drama written by an acting coach. The hostages don't think that way. You lose contact with government, you lose contact with systems. You're one man alone in a room with somebody with a gun, and you're faced with your own, you don't give a holy crap about politics or governments or anything else. It's a one-on-one deal where you're faced with your own mortality.
Do you find yourself like making deals with yourself or with God? Like,
oh yeah, I tried that. I tried every one of them. I was a great schemer.
Oh God, if I get out of this, I'll do this and that.
Yeah. But, you know, I knew that was BS to myself. Part of me knew it, so I just quit doing it.
All right, once you said, you know, Father, I accept my fate, what happened?
I left time. I was transported to a place that we all dream of being. It was the second time it had happened to me. I was transported to the presence of the living God. And it's not a matter of religion. It's not a matter of. It's a matter of knowing with a certainty. It's not a matter of justifying anything. It's simply knowing who you are, knowing the peace that even in the face of certain death in 2 or 3 minutes, you're at total peace, and you know all of a sudden why you're here, what your purpose in life is, what the purpose of time and space is. And for me, that was the second time it had happened. It had happened to me in 1972 and then again in 1980. And there's nothing in the world that can compare with that.
Did your captors tell you that, would they try and tell you that nothing is being done for you, that your government doesn't care about you? Look.
Yeah, there was a telephone conversation going on that I could overhear part of it, whereby they were trying to make deals with the U.S. Embassy in Lebanon. And, you know, with the one thing that I admire, you know, that Dr. Scott for, Gene Scott, he defined the missing link as bureaucrats. Well, I met the people in the embassy. I met the people in the State Department. I've also found the missing link.
But do you think the president is in a no-win situation? I mean, if he tries to deal with the hostages, like giving them weapons or whatever, if he doesn't do anything at all, you think he's in a no-win situation where he's damned if he does and if he doesn't.
Oh, yeah. That goes with the office.
Okay.
All right. Thanks for calling. Okay. Reagan, when he was running for president against Carter.
These are the worst headphones I've ever seen in my entire life, Rich.
We spare no expense here.
I'm sorry. I shouldn't pick on you. I just met you. I can't pick on you already.
Give me a break, okay? I mean,
first it was a Rich Brian Evangelistic Association.
Yeah, come on.
Okay.
When Reagan was running for president, he gave Carter hell about the hostage situation.
Right. He's a politician. What can you say?
Of course. But he had all of the answers.
Aren't we all hypocrites?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much. Man, a few words. Okay. You're on the Eagle. Go ahead.
Yeah. Someone had just called in a few minutes ago, and he was talking about a telemarketing firm that he used to work for. I worked for a similar telemarketing firm doing just about the same thing. There was a show that was on television a while back. It was called Fight for Religious Freedom. The supervisor that I had flat out despised me no matter what I did, but I went ahead and subscribed. Even though we were working the program, I went ahead and subscribed to it to see exactly what the materials were and exactly what they were sending out. It was just...
Caller, do you have your radio up?
No, I don't. It's off.
Okay.
It's these headphones.
Yeah. All right. Go ahead.
Okay. Anyway, what happened was once I started getting some of the material and reading over it, it was just to the edge of fraudulent. And we had to read a script, and after I started reading some of that material that we were getting, it was all BS. There was very little truth in it. It was always send money, and I don't know how many envelopes I received with pledges to be sent in, $20 to $50 and even more.
Well, why do you work for that kind of thing? I mean, if you see it's fraud, why do you work for it?
Why I finally started turning around, taking it to my supervisor, and once she...
Well, take it to the State Department, take it to the FBI, take it to anybody, but don't... You can't be satisfied with fraud in your life, or you can't... Don't have the right to criticize anyone else. If you're participating in it, you're a whore.
I had to participate in it.
Why?
I turned around and told them I wouldn't.
Okay, well, that's good, but, you know... Man, if we as individuals participate in these, and it's harlotry, it's whore, it's whoredom. You're selling yourself just like a whore in the street. If you have to do that to make a living, then screw it. I don't want to live anymore.
Mm-hmm. I finally got out of that.
Good,
good.
Don't ever touch it again.
Thanks for calling. You're on the Eagle.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I want to ask you something about these evangelists, but I'll tell you, first off, I'm born again Christian and a gay man. But what gets me?
No, wait a minute. Born again Christian and gay, is that right?
You got it.
What do you think about that? Well, I want to get Ole's response to that.
I don't care what he is. Born again is a catchphrase of. It's really where people sort of put the name of Christ or of God on their already existent idolatry. Well, if you can't be a Christian and be anything else. You can't be a Christian businessman or a Christian lawyer is an obscenity, just as being a Christian gay man is an obscenity. You can't be both. You're one or the other. You can't serve God and mammon. And don't give me all this crap about gay rights and I'm a gay Christian. Don't you understand yet? There's neither male nor female. There's no other identity. If you're in God, then you're not. You don't have the right to have any other banner, any other identity, whether it's an American or anything else. So don't tell me you're a Christian gay man. If you are, you're lying. One of them will win out.
Well,
and it doesn't matter whether or not you're saying you're. I'd say the same thing to a Christian businessman or a Christian lawyer or a Christian whore. I don't care what it is. You're being deceived. If you think you can be two things, there's only room for one in that vessel called you.
I bet you're glad I asked him, aren't you, caller? All right, what's your question?
My question is, I've seen a lot of fraud in these evangelists like the AIDS thing. They're passed out a lot of fear, a lot of false information, and so forth, and I think this is harmful. But also, there must be a lot of money in doing that.
Well, stop.
What all these homosexuals are doing.
Yeah, stop a minute. The AIDS thing is the best thing that happened to modern evangelism. It's the greatest money-making vehicle they've ever had. And it's another element of their sickness. I mean, where's the compassion? I'm supposed to lay down my life for you at the expense of my own life. And I see these idiots want to quarantine everybody in the name of God. Well, that's probably what we're faced with, but that's because of the hypocrisy in the systems that we're a part of. Begin, if I'm a believer in God and that's my life, then I must lay down my life for that AIDS victim at the risk of everything in me. If I don't do that, I'm a hypocrite and a liar. And it doesn't matter what the result is. If I get AIDS, so be it. If I'm laying down my life for the brethren, if I'm laying down my life for someone that I see is in need, then the power of God is upon me without concern for my own safety, my own life. If I can't do that, I don't deserve to call myself a believer in anything. You're still, all you've done is put the name of God on your already existing idolatry, and that's what God hates.
Well, I'll just say amen to all of that.
Okay.
Thanks for calling. You're on the Eagle.
Yeah, I'm calling, and I'd like to direct a few questions to the guest speaker.
Go right ahead.
Okay. I didn't know I was a guest speaker. That sounds ominous.
Well, you're almost the host. You're on here for 2 weeks.
The guest on the show.
Yes, right. Go ahead.
Okay, I've been listening since he come on the air, and I agree with him about the preachers asking for money. You know, they get it, they get out of hand.
Okay, but what do you disagree with him on?
I disagree with the fact that, you know, he's saying the preachers, that if they ask for money, they're false disciples, because how do you expect them to run a ministry?
They can't. That's the whole point. There can't be an electric church. That's an obscenity. A church is a group of people who learn to lay down their lives one for another. In the first century, a church could not have more than, had to have at least 10, but no more than 20 people.
Okay.
What we've done in the name of modern religion has absolutely nothing to do with ministry. That's a buzzword that's come about. Ministry means lay down my life to be your servant, not to get money and dig in your pockets.
Okay, let me ask you this. What about when the Bible says to go out to the outer ends of the earth and preach the gospel? How do you expect them to do that without money coming in?
Oh, come on. That's child's play. You're not taught. That's not. If God wanted the world evangelized the way these idiots are doing it, to put His name in neon lights across the heavens.
Oh, that's it.
You go to your world. That's where you are. You lay down your life. God established the bounds of your habitation, and therein you lay down your life. Not these phony plans that you place. You think up this great idea. I'm going to go out and hustle, and I'm going to go out and do this for God. And all you've done is placed your name on your God's name on your idolatry, and that sucks.
No,
you're denying the power of God for His own evangelism. He doesn't need you.
So what you're saying is set back and not go to Africa where people have never heard of God and try to get through to them? That's what you're saying?
I'm saying to you, you be faithful to your world and God will take care of the rest.
Well, that's not in line with what the Bible says.
Then you've misread. Go get it. Any freshman Greek reader and see what the alleged Great Commission. It's in the passive tense. It says, as you go into your world, make disciples. It's not a command that they've made it in modern religion. Go into all the world and buy jets so you can go faster. It's as you go into your world, you make disciples.
Let me ask you one more question. Okay, are you a Christian?
I'm a believer. Christ is my life. What can I say?
Okay. Then why are you on the air?
Because they invited me.
Putting these preachers and so-called ministers.
Because they're blaspheming the name of God.
Instead of praying for it, because this is a critical time for the church right now.
Let's identify the church before we... Let's make sure we're not praying for Babylon.
Why don't you pray that God work everything out instead of you trying to do it over the radio?
My prayers are between me and God. This is my... You know, you pray what you pray, I'll pray what I pray.
Let me do something that you were really good at, okay? You're on the Eagle.
Okay. I'll turn down my radio real quick. I just want to say I enjoy your show.
Thank you.
Get off. I wanted to ask about...
God, I hate Pharisees.
I understand. Go ahead, Colin.
I realize you're being kind of gentle. I wanted to ask about Pat Robertson. I realize some of the evangelists are rated... per se, like Swaggart and Baker, real bad, and I just wonder what the speaker thought about Robertson and what his chances are in the presidential race. Now, we should be specific instead of talking about his evangelists in the whole.
Well, in terms of Pat Robertson is you know, he's a very smart, very intelligent, very smooth, very nice man. I just don't believe any man has the business of running for God. I mean, running for God, that was an interesting slip. Running for president in the name of God. That's what bothers me. Then we have the situation, we have the potential to have another Ayatollah Khomeini. I'm not saying Pat is going to do that. But to use...
Didn't he say that God told him to run? God has instructed him to run for president?
That's horse hockey.
As far as I know, he has.
God, that's not the way God works. It's like, you know, God doesn't run around showing people 900-foot Jesus. It's just not, that's not the way he works.
But of the evangelists that you see on TV, I'm not a follower of his, but do you see some of them, like, as far as Robertson has come across to me, he's been more...
Robertson's far smoother, far much more slick, far more educated, far more of a gentleman... I agree.
Or is there something behind him that isn't there for Swigert and Graham and...
Well, but you're missing my point. I'm saying that they're playing in the wrong ball game. I'm saying there can't be such a thing as an electric church. The only thing that you can do with the media is to bring to speak to the idolatry of the world and cause that idolatry to crumble. And that's, if you're a preacher, that's your only job. God will do everything else. And so I'm saying to you, it's not that I dislike these guys. They're putting forth a message that's fundamentally untrue, and that is that you can have, you can become and have a relationship with a television set. You know, that's like having a sexual relationship with a rubber doll. It's the same thing. They're trying to have, you know, it's like, I mean, it's not right. It's wrong. They're blaspheming God.
Okay, one last thing, and I'll hang up. Are you non-denominational? What about the Jewish or the Buddhist? That are you trying to say that to each his own God? Or
I'm saying that on the day of Pentecost, God shed His seed on every flesh in the whole universe, whether they're in darkest Africa or deepest Manhattan. And that seed is the mystery of God, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And it's not a function of trying to get somebody to accept it. It's to tear down the idolatry that's keeping you from knowing the perfection that's already resident within you and every man alive. If you think the other way of knowing a false prophet, if they tell you you have to do something, you just abandon yourself to His perfect love, and then every dream and hope that you've ever had is manifest already within you. It doesn't need me or any other speaker on the radio to tell you how to get it. You have all truth within you now.
What would you say to the person who believes in the Buddhist?
I'd show them the stupidity of Buddhism. I'd show them, just like I've shown the stupidity of Americanism or any other ism. All the isms are full of it.
Okay, well, what's the next caller
to love? Thanks. You're on the Eagle.
First, a question.
Why are you laughing at me, Rich?
I'm not laughing at you. I'm looking at three jokers in there.
Why are they laughing? I can't see them.
You don't want to know.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead, caller.
The question is, who was that took the widow's houses?
Well, his name was Dan Malachek, and Logos International was the name of the organization.
Love what?
Logos International. It was a publishing house.
Uh-huh. And Bill who?
Who?
What was the man's name?
Oh, Dan Malachek.
Okay. And the comment that I wanted to make was amen.
That's sure. Good.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Do you know what amen means?
Mm. What does amen mean?
It means it's the Greek word for so be it, or let it be.
All right.
That's the point of agreement. When you say amen, you don't say it lightly.
Amen.
Oh, I'm going to hit you for that one.
All right.
Somebody just hung up on us.
What's the problem over there? Here.
This is a great radio station.
I want you to know we spare no expense. What's the problem there, Sonny?
Can we take
Don't
a
look
break?
At me.
Is it legal to take a break?
Would you like to take
Can
a break?
Can you play a song or something?
Well, what do you think?
Can you whistle?
Music format
that was
radio?
Avon calling, Rich.
That was what?
Avon.
Oh, thank you very much.
Rich, can you play a song or
Let's
whistle for a minute?
Try this one more time. You're on the Eagle. It's a miracle. Go ahead.
Hello, we're Christians, and there's two of us on the phone now.
we just like to, you know, put out that, you know, Jesus is out there for everybody. He's not just putting out there for, you know, half the people in America or, you know, half the people in the world. He's out there for everybody, man.
What's the just me, that guy that called earlier said, what's the purpose of you doing? Being on the radio, talking on the radio and stuff. I mean, that guy, he's losing it. I mean,
you're right. I think we just lost him. You're on the Eagle.
Hi.
Hi.
Yeah, I got a question for you. How come people today that are Christians, they get caught more up in being a Baptist or a Methodist or Pentecostal instead of doing what we're supposed to do, and that's being Christians?
Well, as I said earlier, you can't be... You know where it says that we are peculiar people?
Yeah.
Well, the word peculiar is a peculiar word. There's a great book, if you're interested, called Translating for King James, and it's written by the scholars that translated the first King James Bible. And in it, it goes into that word, and the word is the feminine form of the verb I am. And what it says is we are the I am people. If you're I am, you can't have any other modifier. You can't have, you can't be Baptist or anything else. You can't be male or female, bond or free, Jew or Greek, anything. You're an I am. And everything else is baggage that sucks. That's enough.
Yeah. Well, no, I am a Christian. I believe very much in God. I believe very much in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And being in today's world, sometimes it is hard to separate the human side and the Christian side.
It's no difficult than any other. All things are the same as they've ever been. It's no one different now than it ever was.
Oh, really? Well, how come, you know, one thing I don't understand, my husband says he's a Christian, but yet he doesn't take the lead like a man's supposed to.
Well, just quit worrying about labels and you'll be much better.
Wait a minute. He doesn't take the lead like a man's supposed to?
Yeah, okay.
What does that mean?
It is the man's obligation in a home to make sure that everybody in the home does learn the Bible and that, you know, your children are raised according to the Bible. And a lot of men today don't take that initiative.
Well, you know, it doesn't matter what somebody's label is. It doesn't matter if somebody says, oh, I'm a Christian. That's meaningless. God doesn't care what anybody says they are. The word Christian was a derogatory term that was applied, you know, the closest anybody came to labeling themselves in the first century, they were called people of the way. I mean, and this whole process that we have of putting labels in everybody and then sticking some assumed morality on that label is ridiculous. It has nothing to do with faith. Faith means you abandon yourself to the perfect love of God without regard to all this other horse hockey.
Well, you're here to do what he wants you to do.
Well, you're here to abandon yourself, and in that abandonment, his love will be perfected. And don't worry about all the other issues. Those are non-issues.
But yet you are still supposed to love each other.
You quit thinking supposed to. You either do or you don't.
That's right.
I ran into people I don't like all the time.
Why do people forget about loving each other?
Well, love is something different. The word love that it's bantered about now, the word love is agape. It means that I'm willing to lay down my life. I'm willing to prefer your interests to my interests.
You love anybody. It doesn't matter what color, what creed.
No, you don't. It doesn't say that anywhere. No, you don't love. I hate ignorance worse than anything in the world.
But doesn't he say all men are created equal in the man?
No, the Bible doesn't say that. The U.S. Constitution does. The Bible also doesn't say God helps those that help themselves. That's another phony issue. I mean,
it says in Genesis that man was made in the image of God.
You know what that word means?
What, man?
Look it up in the basic concordance. It's a Hebrew word, selim. Can I answer your question?
Yeah.
I'm glad you said that.
Well, you know, you have a lot more patience than I do, Rick. I'd have hung up. The idea, the word image, is the Hebrew word selem. And it doesn't mean that you look like God. I mean, look around the human race. If God looked like some of these jokers, I certainly didn't want to have anything to do with them. But the word means, the word selem is the Hebrew word that means the same way that a glove is the image of a hand. You were created in the image of God, meaning that you were created to contain God. And it's not just people who put the label of Jesus on themselves. It's all men are created in the image of God. And at the Feast of Pentecost, when that seed of Christ was shed on all flesh, then that purpose was fulfilled.
Good night, dear. You're on the Eagle.
Hi.
Hi.
My question has to do with, I was taught when I was going to school that Christ was fully man and fully God. And what I can understand is that people say, well, I believe in God, but they don't believe in Christ. If that is true, that Christ is fully human and fully God, then how can a person say that they believe in God and not in Christ if Christ was in the form of God? I don't understand that.
Well, no one has ever rejected Christ. They've only rejected caricatures of him painted by idiots.
Mm-hmm. So, but do you believe that Christ was fully human and fully man and fully God?
Of course.
Okay. That's what I want to know. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for calling. Number is 654-3555. We are going to take a short break right now.
Thank you, Rich.
Yes. We'll be here until 1 o'clock. Taking your phone call, 654-3555. Russ?
Yes?
Yes. Play us a short tune, and we'll be back after this on the Eagle.
Short tune.
Well, short break.
All hit 97.1 KEGL. And now back to Rich Bryant and the talk show on the Eagle.
Okay, I appreciate that, Russ. Thank you very much. It is 12:30. My guest tonight is Ole Anthony. And we are talking about religion in all form tonight, from Jimmy Swaggart to the Ayatollah. Mr. Anthony was held hostage in Beirut, if you just joined us, and was fired at one point by Jimmy Swaggart. It's 12:30 now. We'll be here until 1. The number is 654-3555. Are you ready over there?
I just love your headphones.
I must apologize for that. We can fix those. We can switch if you'd like. Would you like to do that?
Which, do I get yours?
Yeah.
No, that wouldn't be fair. You're the leader.
Not tonight. You're on the Eagle.
Yeah, I'd like to first comment that my father is a Presbyterian minister, and I have a tendency to agree with most everything that this man is saying. I mean, you are really on base with it. I mean, I agree that people are Christians first, and then, you know, the only reason they label themselves as Methodists or Presbyterians or Baptists is because that's who they feel comfortable with, and that's all that it signifies, nothing else. And the other thing that I've grown up in, you know, being a minister's child, I've
a PK
grown up in church, and you know, I lived in Oklahoma when Oral Roberts saw the 905th Christ, and that's a bunch of hoopla as far as I'm concerned. And the other thing that I'd like to ask you about is, I have friends that are radical in both directions on if people believe in one God, does it matter if they accept Jesus Christ or not? And I have my personal opinion, but I want to know what yours is first.
Well, first of all, that word that's so popular in modern Christianity, to accept Jesus as your personal Savior, is nowhere found in the Bible. What it says is, to them that received him, he gave them ability or efficacy to become the sons of God. All men received him. If I am in darkest Africa and I give up my identity and my, if I fall into the ground in the spiritually and die, then Christ is revealed in me automatically. Christ isn't a moral option. He's an eternal cosmic fact. And the idea that man has made him in this generation to be an option that you can choose, like choosing which cereal you eat, is an obscenity. And that the idea that the thing that, you know, that evangelists do is they count their success by the number of people that they've hustled into accepting Jesus as their personal Savior. That's hogwash. That's not the way it works. It never has worked.
Exactly. And the other thing that I...
But let me speak to you a minute, okay? I think I've got a sense that you're all disappointed in a bunch of stuff. What would God say to you right now? Can I try something?
Yeah.
He'd say, "O stubborn and rebellious child, has my love no longer the power to melt your heart? Have you been driven away by those who claim to know me, but we're filled with hypocrisy and greed and drunk with the stench of a death faith. Let the dead bury the dead. Let ignorance reproduce itself until it's weary of its own offspring. This is between you and me. You can no longer resist my spirit without suffering pain. Come back. All is forgiven.
Yeah.
Is your dad listening?
No, he's asleep in the next room. He has to be at the office by 8:30 tomorrow, so he has a big day. But
fundraising breakfast, probably.
No, he has a funeral tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
The thing, I'm not disappointed by the church. I'm disappointed by people in the church. That upsets me because they're hypocrites, and what they're doing is criticizing my father for something that the church has done, and that is downheartening. But you know, we're going to survive. We've survived before. My family, being a minister's kid, our family has gone through so much that we've learned to pull together, and I mean, we are a tight family because of that. And that's one thing I thank God for every day. The other thing that I have a few questions. What do you think about predestination?
Well, I'll tell you what. I don't want to get into all of it. I mean, we could spend all night on doctrinal issues, and that's not a deal.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to call me in Dallas, and I'll be happy to talk to you anytime.
Okay, I have one that's not a doctrinal.
Okay.
Everybody's calling up, you know, saying they're born again and everything, and the thing.
Do you know what that word means, by the way? Do you know what born again means in the Greek?
What?
It means existent from the first estate or existent from the very beginning.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that there's, you know, it means that somehow through the mystery of God, that life which is Christ in you has existed from the first estate, from the very beginning. And it's not a deal to apply where you apply it to your idolatry. I wish people would study freshman Greek sometimes. It's not what it seems to mean in the modern religion.
My dad had 2 years of Greek, and he stands up there and says, you know, the Bible says, you know, the Bible in the translation says this, but if you go back to the original Greek manuscripts, it's completely different in meaning from what the scholars got.
Well, it's still, the King James is still the closest to the right, but anyway.
But the thing that I have wrong was I got turned off on people going around saying born again and all this other stuff when I used to, you know, for kicks, I used to watch PTL because I thought it was funny. And Jim Baker used to stand there and saying, well, if you're born again, that means what you're basically doing is wiping your slate clean from the previous part of life. And I was always confused because, I mean, why do you have to be born again? If God is forgiving, which he is, you don't really have to be born again. It's just that you have to really renew your acceptance. And that's, you know, I guess I've always been kind of, you know, deceived by that, I guess.
And the idea that if you think you've wasted anything or if you regret your actions, then you're repenting after the world. All you're doing is being sorry for something you did. To repent means to turn from self. You've taken on a new identity. It has nothing to do with that. If you have to understand that everything that has ever taken place in your life was necessary in order for you to come to where you are. It doesn't mean, you know, you've now... I mean, it's just not the same as it's being taught.
Yeah.
Okay? Thank you.
Thank you. You're on the Eagle.
Yes, sir. 10 minutes ago, I heard you, like, dismiss Buddhism as a, you know, idiotic religion. And for the past 30 minutes to an hour, you've been saying what God thinks or what he feels or this isn't the way he operates or, you know, this and that. And I'm just wondering, I mean, how can you say that? I mean, if God...
Well, Buddha never claimed to be a religion. He claimed to be a way of life, and it's a totally different thing.
I mean, if God exists, and it's a big if, how could you even presume to think one millionth of what he thinks? I mean, in terms of, you know, eternity, your life is one millisecond of what's been going on. And
worse than that, in terms of eternity, the human race is just God's sperm cells.
Beg your pardon?
All right.
Thank
okay,
you.
Thanks. You're on the Eagle.
I was just wondering, I'm not a very religious person because I've looked around and I can't find a religion, you know, that really makes me believe. You know, they're just all far-fetched and everything like that. So, you know, what should I do?
Just continue being honest. Live life to the fullest. Don't have any if-onlys in your life, and he'll find you. You don't have to worry about finding him.
I do appreciate that. Thank you a lot.
Thank you. You're on the Eagle.
Yes, I've just got two questions, and then I'll hang up and wait for the answer. The first question is, I'm not saying I agree or disagree, but I'm curious. You mentioned earlier that nowhere in the Bible or that the people that asked for money back in the first century church were considered to be false prophets. I'm curious where he read that and found that, if it's in Scripture. My number two question is, it's kind of funny, but I just want to get his comments on how he feels about whether or not Christians should be listening to secular music. And I'll hang up. Thank you.
Listening to what?
Secular music. Not Christian music.
Okay, thank you.
What was the first question?
I thought you had it.
I was distracted. I'm sorry.
The second question was
secular music.
Yes.
Well, I see. That's like saying there's a Christian tree and a secular tree. I mean, can you see the idiocy of that question? There's no such thing as secular music or religious music. Music is music. Life is life. I mean, the idea of that there's some Christian music, I mean, I just love that concept. Can you imagine a Christian tree?
Why is it that, quote, religious programming has never been what you would call, with the exception of one, a success in this market, or any market,
because it doesn't compete. It doesn't offer life. It offers death. And the only ones that are interested in it are the ones that are afraid of their own mortality. And so it's fear motivated.
All right. Do you ever have any desire to get back into this end of it?
You mean sit in your seat?
Well, not necessarily this seat, but...
Are you offering me your job, Rich?
No!
Is your boss listening?
More than likely, yeah.
You're speechless.
It would be fun to have you sit in this chair a couple of times, but I mean on a permanent basis. Would you like to ever get back into radio again?
Well, my feeling is that... there's an interesting thing. I feel I have one function in life, and that's to mock idolatry.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter whether it's yours or mine or President Reagan's or Jimmy Swaggart's or anyone else. Because if we can destroy the idols by honesty, by living fully, and not by... I mean, the idea... Then God does everything else. If I can show you that every dream you have and every ambition you have is ridiculous in the cosmic scheme of things, and that you stop giving importance to all these minuscule little teeny idols that go on in your life or anybody's life, then God will do the rest. That's what I mean. If the religious meaning is to, it says, bring forth fruit necessary for repentance. Repentance not to say, I'm sorry I did that, but repentance meaning, hey, I've had enough. I don't like this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So from that context, yeah, it'd be fun. I mean, I tend to be, you may not know this, but when I'm on the radio, I tend to be very controversial.
Really?
And I don't really understand it sometimes. But
fine.
Don't pick on me,
Rich. You're on the Eagle. Go ahead.
Well, I was, you talked about a Christian gay man earlier in the talk show.
Yeah.
And, I was wondering, a simple way to explain it to get people to understand was, in the Bible it says we were created in God's image. Unless they can nail down that image, there's no way you can label yourself as anything else but a Christian.
That's right. There's no labels. Okay. No labels allowed. Oh, I remembered his question. The guy, the one that I forgot,
yes.
One you didn't do your job right,
well,
and you forgot
they were
your
bringing
question.
Me vital information here.
Yeah, it's probably something that you have to sell or something.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Can I remember? Can I speak to what I remember? He asked me how I knew that the first century church. Why are you laughing at me all the time?
I don't know. Go ahead.
He said, "Why did I know that? How did I know the first century church that the anybody that asked for money was considered a false apostle?"
That's right.
There's a manual of discipleship that was written allegedly by the 12 apostles called the Didache that isn't in the Bible, but it's part of the stuff that they used in the first century church. By the way, the letters of Paul weren't in the Bible either. Then the only thing scripture was the Torah, which are the first five books of the Bible. But it was the Didache that was the manual of discipleship. And in that, it says that if anyone asks for money, you're to treat him as a false apostle.
Yeah, I took 4 years of theology in a private high school, so I know a bunch of this. Another thing is, these preachers...
Then you should be here. You know more than I do.
Maybe not. Another thing is, these preachers on TV and all these evangelists tell us that you can't hide the truth from God, but yet... Jim Baker and Tammy Baker.
You can't hide the truth, but you can pay blackmail.
Right.
Okay.
And, you know, they hid the truth from their believers, and they deceived them, and it turns people off, and it's really a shame.
That's right.
And
but it's the threshing floor wind.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for calling.
All righty. Thank you.
Russ.
What are
we doing? Vacuuming over there or something?
Hey, Chong, cut that off.
Oh, thank you.
Sorry.
we need to run.
This place is crazy. This is a crazy radio station. You're not well.
We have our own way of doing things.
None of you are well. But I've got a 25-cent headphone.
Oh, you got him out the good ones. Well,
yeah,
thanks.
Well, I told him we spared no expense. I mean, this is a two-part episode.
It's a sixth station.
You know?
No wonder you're so popular. I heard you had a 40 share. That's incredible.
I'm waiting for the telephone call any day now. Do we have to do something here?
Yeah, have a sponsor.
That means I can take another break?
Yeah. Only a 60-second one.
No. Okay.
Make it quick.
I will.
Bye.
And now back to Rich Brian and the talk show on the Eagle.
Thank you very much. You did that so professionally. My guest is very impressed.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
If we could get the China guy to turn off his vacuum machine.
All right.
You know, I looked in Arbitron, and I saw impressive numbers, mind-blowing numbers for your station in terms of the teen audience and the young adults.
18 to 34, we do quite well.
You do. But see, is there any way that if your boss is listening, do you think we could talk him into springing for some coffee next week? Is that possible? I've never in my life seen a radio...
One time and ask for the world, you know?
I've never in my life seen a radio station that did not have coffee.
I understand this, but you see, we're in...
No, I don't want to know about it.
We're in the Fort Worth plant, and the economy is a little rough over here. However, but next week there will be coffee.
You're a gentleman and a scholar.
Instant okay?
No.
All right. Number is 654-3555, and you're on the Eagle.
Yes, sir. I just had a very brief question. I first wanted to compliment him on being so incisive and to the point. But the question I have is, I'm sort of confused about the whole thing. Evangelism is kind of, it's like a non-person kind of thing. I don't really relate to it. But the main question I have is, he's talking about, you know, breaking up idolatries. And the only thing I'm really just... The thing I'm wondering about is, I'm a little confused, and I'm wondering if he has any material that helps kind of explain, you know, like he's talking born-again Christians.
Okay, he is sitting right here, so you don't have to talk in the third person. You're talking to him. Okay.
I feel like a non-entity.
Go ahead.
Okay, I was just really curious, you know, that you say that, you know, God will find you.
Right.
You know, regardless of what...
It's God's business to find you, not your business to find God. All you have to do is be honest.
What about the whole thing, you know, with the Bible? Or are you advocating the Bible as a...
Well, here the big mistake, now we got this big deal, you know, we're in the hotbed of Southern Baptists, mm-hmm. as opposed to Northern Baptists or Eastern or Western or Dallas or whatever. But, and the big deal in the Baptist church now is the, you know, the inerrancy of the Word of God.
Right.
Well, I can't believe it. They don't even read their own Bible. The Bible isn't the Word of God. It's words about the Word. The Word of God is the Messiah, the Jesus Christ incarnate. It's God becoming flesh and dwelling in this tabernacle. That's the Word, the Logos, the essence. All the Bible is words about the Word. And so when I'm not dismissing it. It's great. It's wonderful. I'm glad we have it. But it's, if you confuse the words about the Word with the Word, then you're playing Chinese baseball again.
Right. Okay. Well, the only real two quick things I have is,
I thought this was going to be one brief question.
Do you have any material that, you know, like you are talking about?
My material to you is to be honest. God will do the rest.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
You're on the Eagle.
Okay. Yeah, I wanted to ask the speaker a direct question.
Go right ahead.
Does he believe in winning souls to Jesus Christ?
Do I believe in winning souls to Jesus Christ?
Yes.
No, I want you to go find me that in the Bible.
Well,
instead of your Baptist hymnal.
Huh?
Go find me that in the Bible instead of... If you ask me that question and you can find it in the Bible, then I'll...
Okay, then let me ask you this. What was going on between Jesus and Nicodemus in John chapter 3?
He was telling him that without his Christ's incarnation in Nicodemus, which was going to take place in Pentecost, he was without hope.
Yeah, well, have you ever read the Bible where it says that he that winneth souls is wise?
Well, I think if you look at that, the idea isn't winning. That's a translation that puts it in the game of we'll go win souls on Saturday or Sunday and watch the Cowboys on Sunday afternoon and we'll all win. It's a mixture. Don't pay any attention to mixtures.
Let's make a deal. All right. Thanks for calling. You're on the Eagle.
Yes, I want to ask your opinion on something. I live in Fort Worth and there's a church that mostly homosexual people attend, and I believe that people have their own right to worship God, but isn't that kind of being contradictory?
Well, as I said before, that's like having a church for lawyers and a church for talk show hosts and a church for bad guests. You know, I mean, you can't have that. You can't have you can't belong to God and have any other label.
All right, Oli, but they will come back and they will say that the church makes them feel extremely uncomfortable in their beliefs, that they are either not wanted by the church or the church completely frowns upon their lifestyle.
But they justify their religion by their sexuality. Mm-hmm. I've interviewed the pastors of several of those churches. It's an interesting process. I have a tape of one if you want to hear it sometime. It's fascinating.
All right. Caller? All right. Thank you. A couple of minutes left. You're on the Eagle.
Yeah, I've got a question for you. In Ezekiel 37, it's talking about the stick of Joseph and the stick of Judah.
Right.
What is the interpretation there?
Well, the stick is the scepter or the power. Joseph's power, Joseph was not... The tribe of Joseph was not one of the through the bloodline came, but the tribe of Joseph became the Hyksos dynasty in Egypt. The tribe of Judah became the one responsible for the blood or the carrying of the genetic purity of the seed of Christ. And so it's Christ that we're in that concept, not as Christ as a religion, but Christ as life itself. Versus the stick of Judah or of Joseph being, you know, world government.
Okay.
All right.
And one more quick question.
I'll try to give a quick answer.
I'm currently investigating the Mormon Church, and I'm wondering what are your thoughts on it.
Well, it's just like all the other churches that are trying to set up the kingdom of God on earth, and if you get there quick, you might get Ethiopia as yours.
Thanks.
Okay.
You're on the Eagle.
Yeah. I was calling in about the Christian music you were talking about earlier.
Yeah, what about it?
I know the Screaming Striper. What do you think about them? Do you think they did something wrong or did something right?
I really don't care.
You don't care?
No, it doesn't matter. Music is music.
Somebody is.
I don't like music with words to it. I like music that allows my own imagination to work. You probably play all music that has words to it, don't you, Rich?
We play a couple of songs.
You strike
me as a jazz person.
I like jazz. I like stuff that doesn't have words because I want my own imagination to place the reality to the music that I hear.
Oh, but you don't like videos either, do you?
Oh, God. MTV, which is EMPTYV.
Right. Okay.
That's a Jill Bobism.
Well, I'm going to ask you about that. Call. Go ahead. One more question.
No, I ain't got no more questions.
Okay, thanks. You're on the Eagle.
Yes. Am I talking to a guest?
Go ahead, yeah.
I think you're full of shit.
Oh, right? Yeah, okay. Well, we had to get one good Christian. Okay, try this one. You're on the Eagle.
By the way, I think my house has just been bombed.
Yeah. Caller, what is it?
Yeah. I'd like to ask the speaker, what does he do on Sunday?
We have a group of people that we meet with that is a body of believers that we learn to lay down our lives one for another.
Oh, so you do meet?
We meet six nights a week. I teach six nights a week.
We're about to give that phone number. Thank you for calling.
We are?
Yes, as a matter of fact. I thought we would...
Oh, my goodness.
Give the number for the Trinity Foundation.
All right. Harry's.
Which is?
It's in Dallas, area code 214-827-2625. Don't look at me that way.
John Bloom called you the most dangerous man in the world. Why would he do that?
He was probably speaking as Joe Bob. I don't know. I think it's because people perceive me as a threat to their value systems. And it's, Jesus said if you're his disciple, you'll be hated of all men. They'll kill you and think they're doing God holy service. And if you speak against all idolatry, all false value systems, all systems that are time-dependent and destroy them, then you're perceived as dangerous. And by the way, I'm not trying to set up my own system. I don't want any system. I don't want any. But it's, can I, do I have 1 minute?
Yes.
The word truth is a fascinating word. And that's basically, you remember when you were a little kid and the only thing you were interested in is looking for truth? And if you're like, I know you, that at some point in your life, when you were real small, you had a sense of destiny, that you felt that there was something special that was going to take place. You couldn't articulate it.
Mm-hmm.
And during the years in which you were a teenager, and you rejected the false value systems of your parents, and they called you rebellious, what you're really doing, what all of us were doing, is looking for truth. And the word truth, in every language that I'm aware of, can only be defined by what it isn't. In English, truth is something that isn't a lie. In French, it's something that isn't a lie. In German, it's something. In Russian, etc. But in Hebrew, which I believe was the original language, by the way, Hebrew, the word is emeth. And it means something that is timeless, something that doesn't change with time. And that's how you judge truth. Everything else you will automatically discard. You've gone through life discarding thousands of people because they didn't meet your demand, subconscious demand for truth. You've discarded thousands of ideas, thousands of jobs, probably.
Mm.
But because...
Not as many as I would have liked.
But they didn't meet that subconscious right. demand for something that was timeless.
Yeah.
And that's what all people are doing. And the idea of... The way you can tell if it's from God is if a man is speaking, and what he's saying isn't true in every society, in every age, in every time, it's not truth. And it's not from God. If you can't tell if these jokers, these idiots, these perverts that are speaking in the name of Christ on television can't have the same message to the believers in the caves in Russia or the underground church in China or the believers that were being thrown to the lions in the Roman Empire, if the same message can't be spoken to them, the message they're speaking is a lie.
Right. Part two is coming up, sir. Next Sunday night, Ole Anthony will be here again, and I want to talk
to you. Can we say send your cards and letters?
I suppose.
Your
I mean, everybody else is.
Your contributions for the Rich Blaine Evangelistic Association.
Right, right. Now, I want to talk to you next week about... politics and a little bit more on religion and movies. I mean, you've made movies, produced movies.
Yeah. Those are non-events.
People are interested in
They're still non-events.
I mean, you can make the movie of the Jim and Tammy story.
Yes.
Look for it soon.
We can sell Tammy Baker pantyhose.
Right, or eye mascara.
Yes.
Okay.
By the pound.
You're listening to The Eagle, KEGL, Fort Worth, Dallas. My thanks to the callers, with the exception of one, and Ole Anthony as well. And next week, part two.
And new headphones.
New headphones and a cup of coffee. Russ.
Yes, sir.
It's yours.
I'll take it.
Thank you.
This Thursday, April 2nd, Sewell Oldsmobile proudly presents NHRA.